Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to know the date, I have no idea the date, neither Hebrew nor English. Okay, I'm sorry. I can't believe that I'm here. The only thing I know is that we're here with the Bitochon Vajra and it's against all odds. Okay, I'm laughing, not crying, although I could be crying. For whom it's dedicated, it's a Refuah Shleima for two people, I believe, and I'd like to give a big shout out to Mr. Mitch Green and Jake Wine for, please excuse me, you won't believe what it's been through. Maybe this is important that I'm here, and you'll hear that I'm falling apart, but I'm laughing because it's so funny that I'm here because it's against all odds. Mr. Jake Winan, Mr. Mitch Green, they will tell you for whom it's dedicated, and the main thing is going to learn about Bitachon and Emunah. And it's not been a favorable circumstance for me to be here right now. And I will do the best to learn with you, Bitachon. Maybe those first few minutes, maybe they brought a smile to someone's face besides for my own. And that'll help our day. Maybe someone will be in a better mood because of it. And let's take that smile and share it with someone else. Because a lot of people could use some smiles. Thank you so much, anyway, for being here. And I'm going to try to stay together because every single factor that came up today stopped me from doing this. And then I said to myself, and there's one woman I said to myself a half hour ago, this is part of our Bitachon study. I said, maybe Hashem's angry at me. That's what I told myself. And then I said, wait a minute, stop. That is not my business. Hashem is angry or not angry. First of all, Hashem is only a Rachamon, and anger is only figurative. Hashem does not possess human emotions. But I have an obligation, and I want to tell you a small story. Besides the story, the fact that we're having this against all odds, is that I was all set up to learn with you. And let's relate this to our lives. I was set up to learn with you, and then suddenly I see a crowd going into the room. I'm about to start, and it dawns on me, oops, I forgot this room is used at this time, and I cannot give the Bitachon Vaj, I cannot learn in this room now. And I said to myself, okay, I will just transfer everything out of the room. And then I said, hold on a second, I'm not allowed to lift 10 pounds right now because of surgery. I have more than 10 pounds worth of stuff, including Sfarim, to transport. So a couple of people started to bring this stuff out of the room into a temporary quarters. I ascertained where this Bitachon Vod would be. You'll see this is relevant, okay, really? And I asked the kind nerve center of our school here and said, listen, I suggested a room. And she said, this room technically is free till you'll be finished. So I decided, okay, that room is all the way on the other side of the building. I have probably 15 to 20 pounds worth of items to bring there, including Sfarim. So I said to her, what do you think I should do? She says, well, there are a couple of carts around. There's a cart. Use a cart. Put your things on a cart. Should be okay. Everyone's in class. Everyone's busy. I'm not going to have people carrying my stuff like Nose Kalin. So I said to myself, a cart? Okay, I'll go look for a cart. I place all of my items down in the teacher's room, one or two at a time, so I'm not carrying too much at once. And I start walking through the building. My origin room was the teacher's room. I start walking around the building, room to room, one room to the next. No cart. I look in this room, no cart. Next room, there's a class in that room, but I see it through the window. No cart in there. Next room, I meet a student in the hall. Hey, listen, do you know where there's a cart? She says, I don't know. Oh, maybe the GO room. Oh, the GO room, fantastic. That's where the art supplies are. I go over to that. Well, half of the GO room is locked, and the other half's open, but there's no cart. I checked every single room. There's no cart. Okay, let's start from the beginning. I walk back to the teacher's room, which is where my stuff was. And then I see, lo and behold, beautiful, clear, clean cart sitting right there. And then I said to myself, I knew that was there. That was there the whole time. That was there in the beginning, because last week when I saw it in there, I said to myself, well, that's kind of strange. This cart suddenly drove itself in and parked right here between the table and the air conditioner and ascertained it wasn't blocking anything. I just left it there. That cart was there the whole time. I looked at it today. I saw it today. But then I ignored it. Why? Why are there solutions right in front of me? Why is there the ability to achieve Yishuv Das right in front of me? And I ignore it. Not on purpose. I look elsewhere. I look over there. I look over there. Dorton, we say in yeshiva. Maybe it's State Dorton. Says it over there. It's over there. Maybe the solution's in the other place. No, that's because when the emotions get hold of a person, it says to me, it can't be that easy to solve. It just can't be that simple. But the answer is that it is. Remember the Journey's lyrics? What you're looking for is right there at the door. The Ribono Shel Olam is here with the solution. They're right here. You know the stereotype I heard, it's about men. I open the refrigerator and I need almond milk to put in a cup of coffee. And I say, oh, of course there's no almond milk right in the front. I start looking around, and then I, of course, some men don't want to ask for directions. So I'm still searching. It's like Bedikas Chametz. It's all chametz anyway. I'm looking through there and I start saying, okay, does anybody know where the almond milk is? Abba, it's in the fridge. No, I can't find it. Abba, it's right there. It's on the top shelf in front of you. Because if the solution is there, if I'm emotional, if I'm disturbed, if I'm distracted, if I'm anxious, I won't notice it. I don't have the ability to notice it. So what do I need to do? I need to say, Ribono Shel Olam, I know that it's all there. I know that it's here in front of me. I needed a Gemara. I already had the Gemara. I already had the right Sefer. But remember, I had to leave the room that I was going to use, so I didn't have it all anymore. I said, oh, no, now I need to make sure this Gemara is the right place. I look over at the Shas. That volume is sticking out. It's the only one sticking out all the way out. The Ribono Shel Olam sends us signs that he loves us constantly. Remember it says in Shir HaShirim? It says, Misrapekas, it says, Meitzitz min acharakim. Hashem is looking from between the lattice work. Mashkiach min achalonos. Mashkiach min achalonos. Meitzitz min acharakim. What's lattice work? We're in galus. Let's say I'm in a personal galus. Let's say I have a crisis, chas v'shalom. I have a difficulty. And I say, Hashem is upset at me. I don't see him anywhere. Hold on. Stop right there. Not true. Hit the delete button. That's not true. Ribono Shel Olam loves me. He's reminding me that he's here. The exact opposite. He is here. He's reminding me. Ah, I don't see him. It's lattice work. It's one of those screens. Hashem is looking at me, behind me, next to me. I don't remember it. There, the solution is there. So I want to thank Hashem that I'm here. I apologize for the initial few moments of hysteria, how we started out today, but that's because I was hysterical. Something a little different. The Chafetz Chaim speaks to the soldiers on the battlefield. Over a year ago, we looked at his sefer called Machne Yisrael, and he tells the soldiers, you're going to make it through. You're going to walk between the bullets, not just you can walk between raindrops. You could do it between bullets, the bullets of life also. And he says, you have to have bitachon, and the more bitachon, the more salvation. But he says something that presents slight difficulty. Will this be an impediment to bitachon? That's the big question for today. And what is the this? That's the need to do tshuva. I looked at the Chafetz Chaim again. We learned through it many times. We did it in our vod. And he's about to tell us it's a prerequisite for having bitachon is that I have to scrutinize and examine my behavior and try to improve. Actually, not just try, but I have to be committed to improve. So I said to myself, is this going to halt the whole thing right here? Is that a brick wall? Because what happens if a person is stuck on certain things? We don't have to always be stuck because we could extricate ourselves to a degree at least and try to improve. And then I realized there's something called Hirhurei Tshuva. Familiar with it? Thoughts of tshuva. How long does it take for me to transform myself from a rasha to a tzaddik? But let's not be so extreme. How about from someone who isn't so meticulous and careful about everything on one hand to becoming someone who's more careful, to someone who's in good standing with Hashem? How long does it take? I hope it doesn't take too long. Because first of all, on the battlefield, time is of the essence to do tshuva, to be able to have that bitachon to come home alive. And it reminds me of another story. I'm sure you know that perhaps the most important kibud at a chasana, let's see if you can tell me. You know, people get all types of kibud in these honors at a wedding. And people say brachos under the chuppah, people read the ksuba, all types of things. They say brachos in the sheva, brachos after the suda. What is so important? Am I going to say most important? There are those who say yes. It's very possible that it is. And that those are, that's correct, the witnesses for the halakhic engagement, the Eidei Kiddushin. They need to be upstanding from people. They need to be tzaddikim. At least, well, we're going to explain to you what that means. So I was at a chasana one time, had the kibud of being one of the Eidei Kiddushin. And the Masadir Kiddushin, the one who's running the chasana, a very distinguished-looking rav, a posek, he walks up to me, he looks me squarely in the face, and says, "Are you one of the Eidei Kiddushin?" And I said, "Yes." He fixes his stare on me and says, "Do tshuva." He never saw me or heard of me or knew me. But the halacha is that we want the Eidim, the witnesses of Kiddushin, to be kosher witnesses. We want it to be a real marriage. Those witnesses who watch the chasan put the ring on to be makadish to Isha, to forge that hopefully everlasting relationship. They're supposed to be people in good standing. They're supposed to do tshuva. He says, "Do tshuva." Now, he doesn't know me at all. Apparently, there's something instantaneous about tshuva. That's going to come in really handy on the battlefield. And let's see. Let's see where it comes up in Chumash. One place I remember is Or HaChaim HaKadosh. If you look in Parshas Vayelech, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Zayin, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Bnei Yisrael, "Ki Anochi Yadati Es Meryecha, I have known your rebelliousness, Ves Orpecha HaKashe, and your stubbornness, your stiff-necked nature. You've been this way." By the way, he's really not trying to do nos davarim chas v'shalom. He's not trying to hurt their feelings. He's giving them mussar. He's about to pass on into the next world. "I've known you, nation, very well." I was about to say you guys, because it's true. It generally was the guys. It was the men who are more misbehaving than the women, that's for sure. "Hain, behold, ve'odeni chayimachem. When I'm still living with you, hayom, today, ve'odeni, when I'm still here, ve'odeni chayimachem hayom, mamrim hayisanim Hashem. You have been rebellious with Hashem. Ve'af ki achrei mosi." Chazal say, "af ki," just like there's a pasuk in Eov and other places in Tanakh, is kal v'chomer, all the more so. If you've been misbehaving right under my nose, I'm with you. Imagine how it's going to be after I die, he says to Klal Yisrael. But that is not today's topic. Today's point that the Or HaChaim brings out is the form of the verb, mamrim heyisem im Hashem. Rebellious you have been with Hashem. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, heyisem is lashon avar. The omro heyisem, the fact that it says you have been, lashon avar is past tense. Ki efshar, you know what past tense is? A thing of the past. It happened. It's gone. It's possible. Shehir haru tshuva ba'osashah. It's possible that at that moment they thought of repentance. They changed totally. They changed. They had thoughts of tshuva. They conceived thoughts, plans of changing. So what does that do? That's so powerful that it makes it that their rebelliousness is something of the past. Uchedin, like the halacha, maybe you know this halacha, the Gemara Kedusha Daf Mem Tes says, HaMekadesh Isha, the one who engages a woman, Amanas Shehu Tzadik Gomor. He says to a lady, "You're halakhically engaged to me on the condition that I'm a fully righteous person." What happens if later on we find out that he was not righteous at all? Even if it's found afterward, that he was totally wicked. So you'd say, oh, so then wait, if the engagement was on a condition that he's righteous and it's found out that he's not righteous, then she doesn't have to need a get. Let's say she wants to marry someone different. She wouldn't need a divorce, correct? Because that means that there was no actual halakhic engagement. Because the condition wasn't fulfilled, right? Because it was on the condition that he was a righteous person. No. Even though it's found that he was totally wicked. Anu omrim mikudeshes. Halacha says that she's actually engaged. But why? It doesn't make any sense. He engaged her on the condition that he's a fully righteous person. Shema hir her tshuva ba'otha shah. Shema hir her tshuva. Maybe he thought of repentance at that moment. That changed everything. Gemara Kedushin Daf Mem Tes. That's the Psak Halacha, by the way. We pask in that way. It's in Shulchan Aruch, Eben Ezra, Simon Lamed Ches. So what's going on? Moshe says to them, Hey Yisem, you have been in the past, you've been rebellious. The Aruch Chaim draws out the point from here. The past, if you've thought of doing tshuva now, then it's a thing of the past. Instantaneous repentance. Presto! Rasha tzaddik. That's why at the chasana, the Masada Kedushin can say to me, do tshuva. Hirhure tshuva. I will think of doing better. I can do tshuva. I can do what the Chofetz Chaim is going to tell us. Bitachon. Bitachon needs tshuva first. We have to repent first. We have to make up and resolve to be a better person. Otherwise, the bitachon will not be effective. I might not have changed my whole life around before I ended up on the battlefield or the battlefield of life. But I can still have bitachon because I have thoughts of wanting to improve. Hirhurei tshuva. I certainly want to improve. That is why bitachon is within my grasp. I can take things and I can change them in my mind and say, this is what I want to do. Now, what happens if I don't follow through? It doesn't come to full fruition. That doesn't mean that I wasn't a tzaddik at that moment. I was. Maybe I was a tzaddik long enough to be saved from something negative, chas v'shalom, something dangerous, something challenging. There's another example of it in Chumash. In case you've joined us later on, that might even be better, because the first few moments, I was actually laughing because of everything that was against me being here. It just came out to be so funny. You know the expression, you can either cry or laugh, but Baruch Hashem, it ends up as laughter. We know that it says, I just want to remind myself that you might say, well, laughter, what do you mean? It says in Avos, Chok Fakalus Rosh, Margilinus to Adam La'erva, you know, laughter and giddiness and lightheadedness brings to immorality, Chas V'Shalom. Yeah, but remember that it also says in Maseches Avos, in the Brisos, in the last Parakinyan Torah, Miyu Tzchok, in order to acquire Torah, there has to be a little bit of laughter. Two ways to look at that. Either we need to minimize how much laughing we have. Don't let it go out of control. That's definitely true. But also, there needs to be a miyut tzchok. This is one of the Mefarshim says this. There has to be some laughter. Laughter is a necessary ingredient of survival in life. So therefore, it opens our minds and gets us going. That was what got me going today, Baruch Hashem. In case you were wondering what happened around 15 minutes ago. But there's another source that tshuva can be achieved very quickly, very instantaneously. And that is the prerequisite for firm bitachon in Hashem that he's going to help me through everything. He will navigate my strategy on the battlefield, on the labyrinth of life. I will be able to have bitachon because I will be able to do tshuva. I am able to do tshuva. And here's how it goes. It's in Parshas Toldos, the last pasuk. You know that Chazal tell us, it's a Yerushalmi that there was not in the Torah quotes here, Yerushalmi and Bikurin, Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, that one of the people who is forgiven instantaneously, you know that group of people? One of them is a chassan. There's a chassan. There's a chacham, there's a nasi, without getting into every single one. A chassan, and l'chor it's a kal also, the pashtus. She also says all kinds of confessions, a Yom Kippur type of mincha on the day of her wedding. It says that a chassan, a groom, is forgiven on the day of the chasana, mechaperes, that day, the gedula mechaperes, the new function in life atones, and there's a lot to explain why that should be. Perhaps because a chassan and kala become the epitome of unselfish, sharing everything from then on until that moment, it was I, and now it is always we, almost always we, and us, the chassan and the kala. But how do we know that a chassan is forgiven? And again, what does this have to do with bitachon? We're learning how instantaneous effects of tshuva do exist, and they actually can justify having bitachon that I can be saved from something because in that moment I'm thinking of doing tshuva. How do I see it here? In the end of Parshas told us, it says we learn out from a certain individual that a chassan is forgiven for his averos. Where do we learn it from? It's in Parshas told us, Vayikach es machlas bas Yishmael. Who became Yishmael's son-in-law? Who became Yishmael's son-in-law, which would mean he married Avraham Avinu's granddaughter, Machlas Bas Yishmael. What occasion was it? It was Esav. Esav became the son-in-law of Yishmael. He married Machlas Bas Yishmael. The Chazal say, V'chi Machlas Shema. Was her name Machalas? V'halo Basmas Shema. Her name is Basmas. El Hashanim Chalulo, Kol Avonosav. Why is he called? The wife is called Machlas. Her name is Basmas. It's a lashon of Mechila. He was forgiven for his averus that day. That means the person from whom we learn that the day you get married, you're forgiven. We learn it from Esav. We learn it from Esav. Because the wife he married is called Machlas. By marrying this lady, he had Mechila, Machlas. Nim chalul kol avonosav. All his averus were forgiven. So the Litzke Rav, the Azlaim HaTorah says, I have a kasha, I don't understand. I wonder if it bothers you also. If we're trying to learn that a person, when he gets married, is forgiven all his averos. Lama nemar dover zeh b'chupas Esav imachalas. Correct the Azlaim HaTorah. Why would the Torah choose to teach us this lesson? From whom? Esav. From Esav marrying Machalas. Esav? So when I said at the table last night, I had my oldest and my youngest at the table. And my oldest son, Meir Leib, the chassan, and his kala Sharon. So Meir had lots of wisdom to say about it. The youngest one, Esther Malka, said, it's a kavachomer. It's a kavachomer. Perfect, right? If it's true by Esav, it's true by any chassan and kala. That's perfect. 100%. We'll see something like that now. So the Nine Torah says, two thoughts to answer this. Number one, it's coming to tell us, even if the chassan did many averos, he did many transgressions. They forgive him for all his averos on the day of his marriage. That's going to be the same thing we can say for the soldier on the battlefield and for every human being in the challenges and struggles and difficulties of life. Even if I have done a lot that was wrong until now, still I can change in a moment. I can even have those thoughts, and that will be enough to change everything, to allow me to have bitachon. But one more point is little catch to it. Dafka im yesh tohir hurei tshuva. Again, like the Ora Chaim HaKadosh said in Parshas Vayelech, like the Gemara says in Kiddushin about that case we quoted before. It's only if the person has thoughts of tshuva. It's not a freebie. Like Marisha Shiva, Rabbi Weinberg said, there's no free lunch. We have to have something. Like when I was the witness of Kiddushin, the time that I told you about. Do tshuva. Have to think thoughts of tshuva. Esav married Machlas. Well, when he married her, he had something in mind. He actually had some kind of noble intention. Ratza bazel lasos ritzon aviv. He wanted to do his father's will. Ah, kibbut avaim, so difficult to do. As it says, Vayar Esav kiros benos kanon b'enei yitzchok aviv. Esav was ready to go out of his comfort zone. There were girls in the neighborhood, local girls of Canaan. But we know already that in the house of the Avos, it was not a favorable thing to marry a woman from Canaan, as Rav Shamshon of Hirsch explains. They were both immoral and idolatrous. As opposed to the girls in Aram, if we would go east. Remember, Canaan is Eretz Yisrael. Well, the seven nations of Canaan were both immoral and idolatrous. But moving to the eastward, which would be what would be Syria,
Mesopotamia toward Iraq, where Lavan lived in Haran, there Rav Hirsch says they were not very immoral, if at all. They were actually afraid of another Mabul. They were just idolatrous. Well, just. That, he says, is a mental aberration, something that could be deprogrammed, as opposed to immorality, which envelops the entire being of the person. That's why the Benos Kenan, the local women, were not favorable for marriage in the house of the Avos and the Amos. Esav understood that. He saw that there were Roth Benos Kenan, the natives of the seven nations of Canaan, the Eina Yitzchak Aviv, in the eyes of Yitzchak, his father. He wanted to do what his father wanted, for whatever reason. Bottom line is, he wanted to do the will of his father. So that's what we call here Hurei Tshuva. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Darash. The great Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi learned from there. Nasan Zato Liskayer. He put his mind to possibly come close, to become totally dedicated to Hashem. It's a Medrash Rabbah that the Litzke Rav quotes in Parsha Samach Zayin. El Shalo Niskayim of Machshavto, just that his thought wasn't fulfilled. It never came to fruition. But he was forgiven for those thoughts of tshuva. I want to do what my parents want. Kivat Avaim, one of the hardest ones. So let's wrap up what we did today. What was today's task? What did we learn today? First of all, I want to thank Hashem that I was able to be here, because I thought to myself today, every single factor in the world is stopping me from being here to learn about Bitachon so I can work on my self-improvement. That's what the purpose of this gathering is. I'm working on my own improvement to get more Bitachon, to improve in this area, to grow. I said, everything is going to stop me. And then I said, no, there's only one thing that's not stopping me. I'm here. I'm doing it. So that means, I guess it wasn't every single factor in the world is against it. All the odds are against me. The whole world is against me doing this. It's not true. If Lamaisa was sitting here doing it, we're doing the mitzvah. We're doing the learning. We're doing the chesed. We're doing the tzedakah. That means Lamaisa, we prevailed. We persevered. We did it. Baruch Hashem. So we learned today that even though that next time we'll probably, the next time or the one after, we will learn about the soldier having bitachon on the battlefield, and proportionate to that bitachon will be the salvation, will be the Yeshua, will be the deliverance. The safety of the soldier is enhanced in proportion to the degree of bitachon. But in order to do that, the person has to do tshuva, the Chafetz Chaim says. Today, we, Baruch Hashem, realized, we discovered through many statements of Chazal and the Chachamim throughout the generations that Hurei Tshuva, thoughts of tshuva, can accomplish that, especially if we need to, at the spur of the moment, to do tshuva, so to say, to be zoche, to be tachon, to deserve to be so presumptuous, to go ahead and say, I will have bitachon. I have a right to have that bitachon because I'm thinking about tshuva. I'm thinking of improving somehow. I want to improve all of it. I hope at least I'm going to chip away at it. I'm going to improve somewhere. And with that, Hashem assures us that we're going to be saved from all the different challenges of life. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful week.